Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Shalom, friends. This is Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries. So glad to be with you. And we are about to celebrate one of the great Jewish festivals of the Jewish year on the Jewish calendar. And that is Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. And Christians call it Pentecost because it's on the 50th day. And the real question is, when do you start counting, right? But to explain all of that and the deeper meaning of this incredible festival is Bobby Walter, who runs Chosen People Ministries in the great country of New York City, you know. So, Bobby, tell us about why the Feast of Shavuot, which means the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost, tell us why it should have such powerful meaning for us as followers of Jesus, both Jews and Gentiles.
Yeah, well, I'll try, Mitch. And shalom to you, and shalom to all of our listeners. As always, we're grateful that you're tuning in. And so the Feast of Shavuot, or the Feast of Pentecost, Mitch, I think it's really significant and important for believers to understand a little bit of the Jewish backgrounds of it. Because honestly, I mean, many Christians throughout the past 2,000 years have referred to this event that we see in Acts chapter 2 as the birth of the church. And it really is just a monumental shift in the outworking of God's big, grand plan. So if we look in Acts chapter 2, I'm just going to start reading in verse 1, okay? And to kind of set the context a little bit, this is the very same year where Jesus, Yeshua, has gone to the cross, okay? So he went to the cross on Passover. He became our Passover lamb. Like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, that Messiah or Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. And so he becomes the sacrifice, sheds his blood on that cross on Passover. 3 days later, which was most likely the Feast of First Fruits, Jesus rises from the dead. And as he is raised from the dead, he becomes, again, like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, the first fruits of the resurrection. So the resurrection of Jesus was different. It was different when compared with every other resurrection that we see in Scripture. Why? Because he never died again, right? It was a resurrection to eternal life. So after the resurrection, he begins to appear to his disciples, to others. He's teaching them about the kingdom. He's revealing more truth about his identity and about his ministry, and his identity as the king, but also as his ministry as our great high priest, right? So all these things are being revealed to his disciples during that time. And then 40 days later, he ascends into heaven. We read about this at the end of Luke. We read about it at the beginning of Acts, in Acts chapter 1. And before he ascends, he gives instructions to his disciples to go to Jerusalem and to wait for this power that will come from on high. So for 10 days, the disciples are waiting between his ascension and the beginning of Acts chapter 2, when we get to this next holiday. And this, again, it's really significant. Okay, this is the same year that all this has happened. It's the same year where he, in many ways, fulfilled the promise of Passover by dying on the Passover. It's the same year where he fulfilled the long-term promise of first fruits by rising from the dead, being raised from the dead, and becoming the first fruits of the resurrection. So the apostles, they must have been anticipating something. And then it happens. The feast arrives, Pentecost, Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, the next holiday in the calendar of God, according to Leviticus 23. So, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. So this power from on high, this next appointed time of God, the way that we see it fulfilled is through the giving of the Holy Spirit. So Mitch,
yes,
maybe you can fill us in a little bit. Why is it significant that the Holy Spirit was poured out on this day? What connection would the apostles or even the thousands, tens of thousands of Jewish pilgrims that would have been in Jerusalem to celebrate this feast? What was on their minds? And what were they thinking about? What were they celebrating? What historical events were they reflecting upon from Israel's history? And how does the Holy Spirit fit into all of that?
Thanks, Bobby. I'd love to talk about Acts chapter 2 and about this miracle that happened on that first day of Pentecost for these new Messianic Jews. You know, you read in the text that there's a question. And so let me just continue from where you left off at verse 4. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. They were Jewish devout people from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the crowd came together, were bewildered, because each of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born?" So that was the miracle of the day of Pentecost. So let me try and unpack that just a little bit. I would say, number one, they were waiting for the promise of the Father. Jesus said that they should wait in Jerusalem, and that's why these Jewish believers were gathered together. They were waiting for the promise of the Father, and of course, we understand that Jesus was not going to send the Spirit until he ascended, and so the Spirit of God would empower and provide the wisdom and the opportunities and even the strategies for the believers to reach the world. And so they couldn't fulfill the Great Commission outlined in Matthew 28, 19, and 20, make disciples of all the nations. And they couldn't fulfill the Great Commission as defined in Acts 1, 8, begin in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. They could not begin that whole process without being filled with the Holy Spirit, who in a sense was the Jesus replacement. So the Holy Spirit is the one who would enable the disciples to fulfill this last mandate from Jesus himself. So that's one of the things that they were probably was on their mind. They were waiting and waiting and waiting for this. And they may not have tied it together with the 50th day, Shavuot, 49 plus 1. We don't know. But certainly the Spirit came on that day. But I think we also have to recognize that there was a lot of time between Moses and Mount Sinai in his receiving the law and the holidays, and this little bit of time after the death and resurrection of Jesus in the early 30s AD. And so there were hundreds and hundreds of years. So there was time, really, for Jewish tradition to develop. And one of the traditions that is based upon Scripture that developed, that I do believe God used to persuade the Jewish people at that moment that what was happening was significant, mm-hmm. was the tradition of the way the law was given in Exodus chapter 19. And it was during that moment that there were signs and wonders in heaven, and thunder and lightning and smoke, and the law was given. And according to Jewish people, as time went by, now you're not going to find this in the Bible, mm-hmm. okay? So sometimes we Jewish people have our traditions, and they're well known, and sometimes we even get confused between what's in the Bible and what's not. But this one's definitely not in the Bible, but it is a Jewish tradition. And that was this, that when God gave the law on Mount Sinai, the law came in a variety of known languages. And the reason for that was Moses did not want the Jewish people to have an out. In other words, we didn't understand it. But it goes deeper than that. There is a Jewish belief that all souls were created at the time of creation. And then those souls joined the body at the time of procreation. Now, I know everybody is going to think that's a kind of a weird tradition, but, and it might be, and I don't see it in the Bible. However, I will tell you this, it is the basis for which Jewish people, particularly Orthodox Jews, are opposed to abortion. Because they believe that once the zygote, the beginning of procreation, happens, that the soul that was pre-existent is joined to the body. So this new body in formation. So when do Orthodox Jews believe somebody becomes a human being? Well, at procreation. As soon as you're pregnant, you've got a living soul living within you. And so there's no doubt that Orthodox Jews believe that human beings become human beings at conception. Both the soul and the body are joined together. So it might be a bit of a weird tradition, but it works out to give Jewish, and particularly Orthodox Jews, some really wonderful, strong values that are pro-life, which I think is fantastic, you know? But were all souls created at creation? Probably not. I mean, we don't see it in the Bible, and the Bible's the last word on what happened at creation. But according to Jewish tradition, every soul heard the law in their own language and exclaimed, as the people of Israel, all that we hear, we will do. So there was a pledge to obedience, to obey the law. At the giving of the law, and whatever language you ultimately spoke, because you couldn't read the law in Hebrew necessarily, because you were raised speaking some other language, which may not have even been invented at Mount Sinai, you have no excuse. You have no excuse. And so they heard the law in their own languages as pre-creation souls. Okay? Now, what happened on the day of Pentecost? There were signs, there were wonders, correct? Peter linked it to the promise that God made to Joel about the coming of the Spirit in the last days. And in the Jewish mindset, there very well might have been an understanding of this tradition, so that when they received the Spirit and they saw the cloven tongues of fire over the heads of people and they began to speak in languages, well, some people don't know whether it was a miracle of languages or a miracle of hearing, you know, because people heard the message in their own languages. But their minds probably went back to Mount Sinai in this tradition, and they realized that what was going on was actually of the same level of importance or more than the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai. And so that would have attracted the attention of the Jewish people. And so this is sort of the hidden message of Acts chapter 2, because you have to sort of know the Jewish tradition in order to appreciate it. So I believe that the disciples, and many came to faith as a result through Peter's preaching, not just because of the power of his preaching by the Holy Spirit, but because they put it together. They understood that this was a Sinai-like miracle, and that whatever was being told was the truth, and they better believe it. And that's what I think happened on this first day of Shavuot, Pentecost, on that 50th day.
Yeah, and I think we can also make a connection, Mitch, with the celebration, the remembrance, commemorating the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai on Shavuot, on Pentecost, tying it with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit here. When you look at the purpose of the Torah historically, those commandments that God spoke, that God gave, wrote on the tablets at Sinai, in many ways, they were supposed to serve like a pretty significant purpose. They were supposed to be like a moral guide for the people, to convict of sin, to point out what is right, what is wrong. The Torah would set Israel apart from every other nation in the world at Sinai. It was different. The moral code, the law code contained in the Torah was different than any other law code in the world, in the ancient Near East. there were certainly some similarities, but it was different. It set Israel apart completely.
Sure.
And we see that in what's contained in the Torah with those commandments. There was the proper treatment of women. There was the proper treatment of foreigners, the proper treatment of slaves. There was just weights and measures. There was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, which put a limit on retribution. If someone wronged you, you can only go so far. So it was different. Okay. So, and then on top of that, the Torah would equip Israel to fulfill her purpose in life as a nation, which was to be a light to the other nations, right? To be a light to the world. And how would that happen? Well, because contained within the commandments, contained within the Torah, within the law, was again, right and wrong, but more importantly, a very clear outline for how sinful men and women can be cleansed and forgiven and made clean by God. And that the way that that happens is through the shedding of innocent blood. So ultimately, it pointed ahead to the Messiah. So if we take those functions of the Torah that was given at Sinai and then compare it with the Holy Spirit, in many ways, there's similarities. The Holy Spirit, he convicts us when we do wrong. He sets us apart, right? We're made holy. We're different when we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and we're equipped to fulfill our purpose in life as a body, to share the good news with a world that desperately needs it. The big difference is that the Torah at Sinai was written in tablets of stone, but when we come to Acts chapter 2 and this fullness of Pentecost and Shavuot coming about, the Torah, right, God's way, God's word, it's written not on tablets of stone, but on our hearts, right?
Human hearts.
Yeah. It's like Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, "You are a letter of Messiah, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts."
Thanks, Bobby. That was really wonderful, really beautiful to think about the imprint of the Holy Spirit on the hearts and lives of people that we reach with the gospel. And that's why we need your prayers, brothers and sisters, to pray for Jewish people, particularly during this holiday season, that Jewish people might become believers in Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, receive the Holy Spirit as a gift from heaven, and live empowered lives to serve Him faithfully throughout their days. We're so grateful for your prayers, for your faithfulness, for your support, and may God bless you. Shalom for now.
From humble beginnings in Brooklyn, New York, to serving in 18 countries across the globe, Chosen People Ministries exists to share the knowledge of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, with God's chosen people. Our outreach programs include evangelism and discipleship, messianic centers and congregations, and equipping local churches for Jewish evangelism. If you have a heart to reach the Jewish people in your community with the love of Messiah, connect with us today. You'll find us online at chosenpeople.com/radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Chosen People. And right now, we're just going to pause and listen to some messianic music. So sit back, enjoy, and worship the Lord.
Al yinu shomrecha Hine lo yanu lo yisham Shomer Yisrael. Laila, 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 laila. Adonai Shomrecha, Adonai Tzilcha, Al Yad Yeminecha, Yom HaMashemesh Lo Yakeka Ve'Yareach. Kol ra ishmor et nafshecha, Adonai ishmor tzeatcha uvorcha mata v'adolam. Lay lay, oh lay 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 lay.
Psalm 120.
You're listening to The Chosen People, which is produced and sponsored by Chosen People Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about this weekly program, or if you're curious to discover the deep and rich Jewish history of your faith, then let me encourage you to stop by our website. You'll find us online at chosenpeople.com/radio. And we even have a free gift just for saying hello.
Bobby, Dr. Tommy Fretwell wrote the book Why Israel, that explores the topic of Israel through the lens of Scripture. It brings clarity to a very controversial topic at times. Dear friend, if you've ever wondered if the church replaced Israel in the plan of God, or if Israel still has a future in God's plan, then you'll want to ask for your copy of Why Israel. As Bobby said, it's free and it's available online at chosenpeople.com/radio.
Or you can ask for Dr. Fretwell's book when you call us at 888-2-YESHUA. That's Y-E-S-H-U-A. And when you reach out today, be sure to let us know that you're enjoying this program. Our team loves receiving your emails and letters, so be sure to drop us a line and say hello today. You can send your letter in the mail by writing to us at Chosen People Ministries, 241 East 51st Street in New York, New York, 10022. And now let's close today's program with the Aaronic Benediction.
Yivrech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha. V'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.